I know it's been a little bit over 2 months since I left to go plant Fresh Vision Church over in the Northeast, but it feels good. It feels good to be back here with you all and to worship with you all, to see the familiar faces. I hope I get to have a chance to talk to all of you and say hi. I do. I miss, you know, Calvary Chapel Sun City over here. This place will always have a special place in my heart. And when Terry asked me what I teach for him on Sunday, I was more than honored. It's a great privilege to be able to teach here, and I hope that you're blessed. And you know, if I can say one more thing about Pastor Terry, is just, you know, he's an awesome individual. He's an awesome man of God, and he has an amazing family. And I say continue to pray for him, for Kim, for all the boys, and you know, the daughter that just left to, Lindsay that just left to college. But keep them in prayer. They're an amazing family. They've always been good to us. So, again, I just wanted to mention that. But also just really want to quickly, if you guys ever in the Northeast and want to come visit us over there at Fresh Vision Church, you know, come and see us. It's always a blessing to see visitors and to, again, see familiar faces. So with that being said, let's pray and get into God's Word. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for allowing me, allowing all of us to be here right now, Lord, to be given the opportunity to read your Word, to study it, to understand it, Lord. I ask right now that you use me to be able to speak truth, Lord. Use me to just to be able to minister to the hearts and minds of everyone sitting here, Lord. Lord, everyone here are probably going through some kind of a storm in their life, or maybe heading towards a storm, Lord. And I hope that today's teaching, Lord, today's word will be able to help guide them as they go through this storm, Lord, as they're going through this storm. Lord, sometimes we face difficult times, but we know that you're always there with us. We know that you're always there to comfort us and to just show us that you'll never abandon us. Lord, you are an amazing God, and we thank you so much for just sharing everything about you to us, Lord, sharing your Son. Lord, thank you, and just bless this time right now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start off by reading you a story that I read that I thought was pretty interesting. It goes, a young man applied for a job as a farmhand. When asked for his qualifications, he told the farmer about his previous experience, then said, I can sleep when the wind blows. This puzzled the farmer, but he took the liking to the man and hired him. A few months later, the farmer was awakened in the night by a violent storm. He ran outside to make sure that everything was secured. He found the barn doors tightly shut and the shutters closed. The storage shed and machinery was already properly taken care of. That was when the farmer realized the significance of the statement, I can sleep when the wind blows. I believe this story serves as a great illustration for the passage I'll be sharing with you this morning, or this evening. When life hits us with severe and violent storms, we can trust that Jesus has everything already secured. All we have to do is weather it out. All we have to do is weather out this storm. In the story we're about to look at, I'm going to be sharing with you four important lessons we can learn. First, there will be times we won't understand the direction God is leading us in. Secondly, being unprepared will cause you to focus on the storm. Thirdly, you can rest in the peace and security of God's word. And fourthly, Jesus may calm storms in a way or manner that is distinctly different than what you expected. I believe these four lessons will reveal to you that severe and violent storms that threaten you are meant to distract you from the safety and security found in Jesus Christ. Responding to that threat with fear will result in doubt and insecurity. However, responding with faith and trust in He who is in you and with you will result in peace, safety, and security. So if you have your Bibles with you, please turn to the 5th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. That's where we'll be this morning. Actually, we'll be in chapter 4, right at the end of chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, and we'll be starting in verse 35. I'm going to go a little bit at a time because I think there's a lot of great truths found in a lot of these verses, so just bear with me. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, he had told them, and I'm going to be reading off the HESB. On that day, when evening had come, he told them, "Let's cross over to the other side of the sea." So they left the crowd and took him along since he was already in the boat. And other boats were with him. So after a full day of teaching and ministering, Jesus tells his disciples, "You know what? Let's go to the other side of the sea. Let's go. There's something we need to do over there. Let's go to the other side of the sea." Now, it's not hard to imagine that for the disciples, this request might have taken them by surprise. The thing is, had Jesus gotten out of the boat, it would have been more difficult to get him back into the boat. We know that already, that every time he went to minister to the crowds, everyone was just trying to touch him and to talk to him and to so that he can heal, so that he can take out these demons. So it would have been more difficult to get him back into the boat. So it would have posed a big logistical problem had he made that request already being out of the boat and ministering to the crowd. So having Jesus already in the boat, ready to go, would have been the best case for them. But in their haste to take off to the other side of the sea, and before Jesus can actually change his mind, they fail to see the storm that lay ahead. Let me ask you, have you ever wondered why Jesus left the crowd of people to go to the other side? I believe that he was just listening and obeying to what God was telling him. You see, what we eventually discover is that Jesus completely obeyed and trusted and relied on the will of the Father. Nothing he did was on his own behalf. Jesus said in John 14:10, "Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who lives in me does his works." He may or may not have known what was going to be on the other side of the sea, but he trusted and obeyed nonetheless. In verses 35 and 36, we see our first lesson. There will be times we won't understand the direction God is leading us in. As a Christian, there will be times God will ask you to do something that you may not completely understand. And you guys may have already experienced this. Maybe, for instance, going out, the Lord is just speaking to your heart, hey, you need to go witness to that person. That person needs to hear about Jesus Christ. That person needs to hear the gospel. Or that person just needs a hug. Maybe the Lord's been leading you to pick up that phone and call that person and ask for forgiveness. Maybe the Lord's leading you to finally take that step of faith and buy that plane ticket and go off to minister to those people on the other side of the world. Maybe even letting go of certain things or people in your life you could never imagine being without. And I'll be honest with you, this was something challenging for me as well. It wasn't easy for me and for my family to leave the safe and comfortable ministry, in order to go to the other side of the mountain and start a church. We felt comfortable here. We had a family here. We have a family, but it's just to leave and to start something new, that was challenging. But it was something that was deep. The Lord was just speaking deep inside of me. And it was something that I felt needed to be done. So yes, I understand the challenges of taking that step of faith. Also, read any biography from any Christian man or woman. You'll see how powerfully God used them when they simply obeyed when God asked of them. Some gave up lives of comfort and luxury in order to serve the poor and needy here and abroad. Some gave up living in the safety and security of a familiar environment in order to go spread the gospel in hostile and dangerous areas, knowing full well that they were probably going to die. Maybe some of you have begun hearing or have been hearing God asking you to do something you may not fully understand. Did you know that God won't ask you to go anywhere or do anything unless he believes you're ready? Let me ask you, do you think God would ask anything of you that would destroy your faith in him? Absolutely not. It says in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them." Believe me, I know it's not easy to say, okay, God, I'm going to go to the other side of the sea. It's not. It's not easy. Deciding to act, though, depends on the amount of trust you have that he'll be with you the entire way. Then, when you get to the other side of the sea, you will understand why he called you there. But you will see, not only will you see why he called you there, but you will begin to see how God will use you in ways you can't even imagine. Now let's continue in verse 37. "A fierce windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking over the boat so that the boat was already being swamped." Now in the original Greek language, this was an extremely violent, ferocious storm. The kind where the wind and rain was just powerful, extremely powerful. So much so that we're told that the waves were bringing in water so that the boat was already filling with this water. The HCSB says the boat was swamped. You would think that those disciples that had spent years of fishing in that area would have had the experience to deal with any typical storm. But according to their reaction, this wasn't just any typical storm. Now, I personally have seen some pretty bad storms. I've been in some pretty bad storms. But I think this was far more worse than I can imagine. One of the most memorable moments I have was when I was on the USS Comstock. We were on our way, myself and our Marine unit was on our way to Iraq in 2003. And it was a dream that really shocked me. I was laying there in the small little bunks, and next thing you know, I'm falling asleep, and I start dreaming, and I'm dreaming I'm on this Ferris wheel. And all of a sudden, the Ferris wheel comes off its hinges, and I'm rolling. I'm just rolling and rolling and rolling just everywhere. And it's in my dream, I remember I'm just like freaking out, like, oh, I need to get out of here, I need to get out of here. Well, I do. I wake up, and I come to find out that this amphibious landing ship was going through this severe storm in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. No, Pacific, I'm sorry. And it was just, the waves were pounding at it. The ship was coming, it was going up and down. It was a pretty severe storm. Now, that was just a large amphibious ship. Now, can you imagine the pounding that this small ship took? Now, this is the second lesson we can learn from verse 37 is, being unprepared will cause you to focus on the storm. And when your focus is on that storm, it will only bring fear and insecurity. Now, how can you ensure that you don't make the same mistake that disciples made and prepare for an oncoming storm? Well, here are two ways. First, know and understand and trust that, again, he who is in you is greater than the punch of any storm. And secondly, don't forget to put on your life vest. And what I mean is that Jesus serves as a life preserver that will keep you from drowning. He is that life vest. You can put him on, and believe me, you're going to keep from drowning. Just as much as you have security in any life vest that any ship would give you, that's what he is to us. That's what he is to you, that life vest that will keep you from drowning. Now, I realize that nothing can adequately prepare you from a severe storm, but as long as you don't forget that Jesus can and will get you through it, you will have a better sense of security. Being a Christian doesn't mean that you will never have to endure severe and violent storms of life. But what we do have is the assurance that Jesus Christ will be with us during these storms. Now, if Jesus Christ is able to rescue you from sin and death by dying on the cross for you, be assured that he has the ability to rescue you from the storm that is meant to keep you from fulfilling the plan and purpose he has for your life. Now, the other thing you need to be aware of is that others are going through the same storm. At the end of verse 36, we're told that other boats were with him. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is why fellowship is so important among the body. That's why it's not good for you just to do church, watching TV, hearing it on the radio. And that's why we need this fellowship, because other people are going through the same storm. Maybe someone else is having a problem with their kid being addicted to drugs. Maybe someone else has a problem with their wife or their husband dealing with alcohol. Maybe someone else is dealing with a death in the family. They're going through the same exact storm, but how will you know if you stay away? That's why fellowship is so important. Getting to know people, getting to pray with people, getting to know what's going on, being involved. By meeting and talking with other Christians, you may find that others are experiencing the same storm. We're told in 2 Corinthians 1:7, "And our hope for you is firm because we know that you share in the suffering, so you will share in the comfort. As you share in the suffering, so you will share in the comfort." Let's move on to verse 38. "But he was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. So they woke him up and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care that we're going to die?'" Wait, what? Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat on a cushion through a killer storm that is about to kill everybody in it? What do you mean he's sleeping there? How could he? Jesus was able to fall asleep during this storm because he absolutely trusted in his Father's word. And when anyone has that sense of peace and security, falling asleep makes it much more easier. When you have a sense of security that everything is going to be, when you know that your doors are locked, the security alarm is set, you have barking dogs, and you know that your house is secure, it's easier to fall asleep. This is how it is with Jesus Christ too. He's able to give us that sense of security. Jesus shows us in this verse that he had a complete assurance in his Father's plan and purpose. That assurance was due to his trust that God was going to get him to the other side of the sea and that his disciples were going to be okay. This is where we see our third lesson in this passage. We too can also rest in the peace and security of God's word. You see that peace and security will enable you to read verses like, "Even though I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger. You are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And that is why I suffer these things, but I am not ashamed because I know the one I have believed in, and I am persuaded that he is able to guard what has been entrusted to me until that day." You can read verses like that with absolute confidence and assurance. But the problem many times, as I already mentioned, is that we get so focused on the storm that the fear of the immediate threat begins to consume the security we have in Christ, which often leads to questioning Jesus' commitment to us. This is what we see happening to the disciples at the end of verse 38. They woke him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to die?" In their fear, in their terrifying, their fear of just being terrified that they were going to die, they began to question Jesus' commitment to them. Think about the last major trial you had in your own life. During that time, did you ever question God whether he was there for you? Whether he cared about what you were going through? If you answered yes, then you should understand why the disciples responded the way they did. If you said no, let me ask you this. How many storms did it take? How many trials did you have to go through to get to that point? Honestly, I can't cast the first stone with how they responded. You see, there were many times I've been so terrified of some severe storm that I was in that I found myself saying, God, don't you care that I'm going to die? I can't tell you how many times I've done that. I've said those words have actually either been in my mind or I've actually in my prayers. So I can't beat them up too much for responding the way they did. Now, this is something the Lord has taught me, and now I'm passing on to you. During severe trials, fear will lead to insecurity. Insecurity will lead to doubt. And when you begin to doubt God's promises, it will be easier for the devil to tempt you to find relief elsewhere. And yes, many times I found relief for that fear down the bottom of a bottle or through some other means that it never really satisfied. When you're in the midst of a storm, it's important to keep in mind the words of James 1:12. A man who endures trials is blessed because when he passes the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Let's finish the rest of the story, again reading starting from verse 39. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Silence, be still." The wind ceased, and there was great calm. Then he said to them, "Why are you fearful? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified and asked one another, "Who then is this? Even the wind and sea obey him." If you know anything about me and you know the kind of schedule I have, I'm the kind of person that values the few hours of sleep I get throughout the day. One of the worst things anyone can ever do to me is wake me up suddenly when I'm sound asleep. And I experienced this today. I was sound asleep and somebody woke me up and I'm like, what's going on? And it's funny because they'll look at me and I look at them and I'm confused and they're confused and it's that, you know, but it's a really weird feeling. It's a feeling I don't like. It's awful when I get woken up that way. But that what's worse is that when you're being awakened, when someone in my face screaming at me. Again, I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but it's just that, for me, you might as well throw me off an airplane without a parachute. It's a terrifying, ugly feeling. Well, here, imagine being wakened up by 12 men in your face, freaking out and yelling, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to die?" But rather than yelling at his disciples, "Shut up and calm down," he walks right past them and instead says to the wind and sea, "Shut up and calm down." If the disciples weren't already dumbfounded by the sight of Jesus sleeping through this killer storm, how much more perplexed do you think they were when they saw Jesus walk again right past them and yell to the wind and sea? Now, once the wind and sea obeyed, he turns to them and asks, "Why are you fearful? Do you still have no faith?" They must have thought this was a rhetorical question because they don't respond back. Instead, they begin to essentially ask one another, "Really, who is this? Who is this guy that just, you know, can just command the wind and the sea to calm down, and the wind and sea obeys? What's going on here?" You see, this was the first time that they saw a display of Jesus' power that didn't involve another human being. Healing a withered hand was one thing, but commanding obedience from the wind and sea was something else. This brings me to our fourth and final lesson we can learn from this passage. You see, there may come a time that after you cry out to Jesus and he immediately calms a life storm. I'm sorry, let me repeat that. You see, there may come a time that after you cry out to Jesus, he immediately calms a life storm. But don't be surprised if he calms that storm in a way or manner that is distinctly different than what you expected. In the ESV, Proverbs 19:21 reads, "Many are the plans of the mind of a man, but it's the purpose of the Lord that will stand." If you've witnessed God do things that have completely blown your mind and blown you away, and you still struggle with fear and insecurity, he may also ask you, why do you still live in fear? When you know that you have a good and wonderful God that always has your best interests in mind. And where does your continued lack of faith stem from? Yeah, no, I understand. Again, I understand that it's not always easy. It's easier said than done. And you know, different storms come along. But where is your foundation? Where's your faith? We have an amazing Father. We have an amazing God who knows what he's doing. And he has a plan for everything that's going on. And we just have to trust in that. We have to have complete confidence in knowing that he's taking care of it. He knows what's going on. Again, our job is just to weather out that storm. And not alone. We're not weathering it out alone. He's with us the entire way. Could it be that you haven't completely surrendered your life over? Is that why you still have that fear and that continued lack of faith? Is it because you haven't completely surrendered your life over to him? Could it be that you're still holding on to things that God wants you to let go of? Well, maybe it's time you let go of those things and begin to hold on to the cross. Maybe it's time you just, you know what, I need just to hold on to Jesus. I need to hold on to the cross. He will rescue me. He will rescue you. Again, not in a manner or a way that you think he's going to, but he will. And when you get to the other side of the sea, you're going to see the blessings that he has for you. And you're going to see him do some amazing, he's going to use you to do amazing things. He may use you to minister to others who are going through that same storm. You know, I know when my wife and I were going through our problems and we didn't see what the end result was going to be. But now that we are where we are right now, our hearts are just to minister to others, other couples that are just going through the same thing, who have gone through the same thing. You know, we all have different experiences. We all have different backgrounds. We've all have done some pretty ugly things. But you know what? God can use those things so you can minister to others and share. Hey, you know what? You don't want to go down that path. I've been there, and it leads nowhere. It just leads to more destruction. He can use you. Again, maybe it's time to let go of those things and begin to hold on to the cross. Maybe it's time you stop living in fear and start living the life the way God planned and purposed for you. Now, as you begin living this way, again, I know it sounds easier said than done, storms will seem more like heavy clouds that are temporarily obscuring the beauty that's behind them. Because there is. I mean, you've heard it before. Behind every gray cloud, there's just a silver lining. There is that sun. There is that, you know, God is there. And a lot of times these clouds, these storms, are just trials that God put there to test you. You know, James talks about that. the book of James. That's an amazing book. We went through it in our home fellowship. And there was a lot of good stuff we learned in there about enduring trials, going through those storms. And many times we want to solve our own problems. We want to just do things our own way. We feel like we have the better answers. Lord, I know you're there, and I know you're a God. You're a great God, but you know, I right now I got this figured out. I got this. And if you've done that before, you know, again, it's only temporary. It only brings temporary relief. It doesn't solve the long-term issue that's really going on in the heart. We have an amazing God. You have an amazing Father. These storms are only temporary. These storms won't last. But you have to remember who's there with you. You know, we have a Savior in Jesus that will never abandon you. So many times I felt alone. I would be there in my room or wherever I was at, completely broken, completely crushed. But each time I would ask the Lord, Father, I need you. I beg you just to fill me and to embrace me and to comfort me, because I can't do this by myself. He's always been there, and he's always touched me, and he's always shown me that he's faithful. We have an amazing Lord. We have an amazing Father in God. Trust in him. Now, if you're sitting here and you walked in and you weren't sure, you've been going through a storm in your life, or you see that storm coming your way and you're not sure how you're going to handle that, I think this is a good message for you. We see, again, those four lessons that you can take with you. There will be times we don't understand the direction God is leading us in, but he knows what he's doing. Secondly, being unprepared will only cause you to focus on the storm. Thirdly, you can rest in the peace and security of God's word. And fourthly, Jesus may calm the storms in a way or manner that is distinctly different than what you expected. So what I want to ask you is just trust in him. If you haven't trusted, placed your faith and trust in him. It's never too late. If you've already tried to figure things out on your own, it's not too late to come back to him and say, you know what, I need you, Lord. He will be with you. Let's pray. Lord God, so many times we've felt like we're alone. But in reality, you've always been there. You've always been there to guide us, and you've always been there to comfort us. Even though we may think that you're sleeping and that you're not there and you don't care, Lord, you are. You do. You care. And we ask you right now that you give us that same comfort. Give us that same security that you had while you were on this boat resting and sleeping. Lord, you've shown us the wonders of your mighty work. You've shown us and been so faithful to us, even when we've been faithless. And we ask right now Lord, that you be with every single person that's here right now. And give them that sense, Lord, that sense of security and peace that they're looking for. Show them that you're there to calm, that you will be there to calm the storm. And then use them in a mighty way once they get to the other side of that storm, Lord. Once they get to the other side of the sea. Lord, if anybody here has never placed their trust and faith in you, has never surrendered their lives over to you, I ask that you just continue to tug their hearts, Lord, so that they'll accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Show them that he is the only way, the truth, and the life. That the only way they can come to you, Lord, is through him. God, speak to them. Can just forgive every person here, Lord. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this evening. I pray you just continue to minister to us during this time of fellowship, during this time that we gather and talk, and protect each and every person here as they make their way home. Lord, we glorify you, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you. All the days of our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name.